Chapter 9. Rachel. Monday, 22nd of July, 2013. Once Scott had closed the door behind me, he let go of me.
"What are you doing here?"
he said anxiously.
"I heard. It was on the news. Is it him? Have they arrested him?"
He nodded.
"Yes. Early this morning. I think they found something. But they haven't found her."
He sat down on the stairs, shaking.
"But what if they do call? What if they say...
what if it's the worst news?" There was silence as he sat with his head in his hands. At last, he looked up. Then, he took me by the arm and opened the front door.
"I think you'd better go,"
he said, and guided me out. I found myself outside the front of the house, the door closed behind me. Then I saw them, Tom pushing a buggy and Anna at his side. They stopped when they noticed me. Anna looked shocked and hurried to pick up her child. I wanted to laugh at her, to tell her, "I'm not here for you. I couldn't be less interested in your daughter." Tuesday, 23rd of July, 2013. I decided not to go into London today. Kathy was at work, and I wanted to keep an eye on the news on TV. By midday, the police had named their suspect. On the news, they talked about evidence discovered at Dr. Kamal Abdik's home and in his car. The reports explained that he had experienced a lot of violence in his life. He had come to Britain, they said, as a 15-year-old boy after his father and two older brothers had been killed. He'd been in trouble with the police for being violent. When I heard this, I knew I'd been right to tell the police and Scott about Kamal. Tom called me more than once during the day. I didn't answer. Why should I? I don't have to explain why I was at Scott's house. After his last call, I went out and bought a bottle of wine. It's early evening when I come back in, and I go up to my room. And that's when I see it on the news. Kamal has been released because there's not enough evidence against him. They had him, but now they've let him go free. They're saying that the report about his violence wasn't true. I can't believe it. I pour myself another glass of wine, and then another. Wednesday, 24th of July, 2013. I'm woken by Kathy knocking on my door and opening it. She sees the empty wine bottle by my bed. "Rachel, aren't you going to work? Did you go yesterday?" I don't reply. "You're going to lose your job if you carry on like this," she says, and walks out. I should tell her the truth, that I lost my job months ago for arriving at work drunk, but I don't. And then I remember. Did I call Scott last night when I was drunk? I look for my phone. I have 3 missed calls. 1 from Tom and 2 from Scott. They didn't leave messages. I can't help feeling pleased. Scott wants to talk to me. He needs me. I call him back. "Detective Sergeant Riley has told me about you," he says, as soon as he answers. His voice sounds hard and cold. My stomach turns over. "She called after they released Abdik. He said he hasn't had an affair with her. And the witness who saw him with Megan can't be trusted because she has a serious drink problem. That witness is you, isn't it?"
"But I hadn't been drinking when I saw them that day. It was 8:30 in the morning," I say. "And they found evidence, not enough evidence." And he ends the call.
Friday, 26th of July, 2013. The last couple of days I've stayed at home. I've decided I'm going to call Tom. I've got to ask him what I did and said on that Saturday night. He might know something that I can't remember. Something important.
At last, Tom says when he answers the phone. What were you doing at Scott Hipwell's house on Monday? He could be dangerous.
I don't think he is, I say confidently. But that isn't why I called you. I needed to talk to you about that Saturday. I don't remember what happened.
You never do remember, do you? He sighs. You were drunk and you shouted at Anna. When she came back, she was upset, so I went out to look for you.
Did she do something to me? I ask nervously.
What do you mean?
I had a cut, Tom, on my head. I was bleeding.
Are you accusing Anna of hurting you?
He's angry now. I'm not accusing her of anything, Tom. I'm just trying to find out what happened. I don't remember. He sighs again.
I think you'd fallen. You had blood on your hand. I said I'd take you home. You were shouting and crying. I went to get my car, but when I came back, you'd gone. I called you, but you didn't answer.
I'm sorry, I say. Did you see Megan Hipwell that night?
No. Did you?
He sounds worried now.
You didn't do something, did you?
No, of course I didn't. He's silent for a moment, and then he says,
Why were you at the Hipwell's house on Monday, Rachel?
I tell him that it was about Megan, that I visited Scott to tell him she'd been having an affair. I saw her kissing another man, her therapist, Kamal Abdik.
Wait, did you know her then? He asks.
Only a little, from her art gallery. And then I can hear a small child laughing, and Tom says he has to end the call. Monday, 29th of July, 2013. This morning, I got the 8:04 a.m. train. I decided to try to find the man with short fair hair from the train. Maybe he could tell me more about what happened that Saturday night. I got off the train at Whitney Station and sat and waited on the platform. Perhaps I would see him as he got on the train to go to work. But he never came. At 9:30, I gave up. I walked down the steps, planning to cross underneath to the other platform to go home. As I did this, I suddenly saw Scott hurrying out of the newsagent opposite the station. I ran after him through the heavy rain. At first, he was angry and unfriendly, but then, because we were both getting so wet, he invited me to his house. It was a complete mess inside. He gave me a towel and made me a cup of tea, and we talked. He told me what he knew about Kamal.
The police haven't got enough evidence to prove anything. Abdik admits that she went to his flat twice, but he says it was just to talk and they weren't having an affair. He told the police she was unhappy, and he thought it was possible that she's run away. But he's lying, isn't he?
There's a silence, then he adds,
What about you? You left your husband. Did you have an affair?
I shake my head. We wanted a baby, but it never happened. It was awful, and I started drinking. I was extremely difficult to live with, and Tom went and found happiness with another woman. With Anna.
I'm really sorry, he said. That's terrible. I know. I wanted to have a child, but Megan kept saying she wasn't ready. We argued about it sometimes.
When I got home later, Kathy was waiting for me. Good day at the office, she says, anger in her voice.
She knows.
I had a meeting today in London near Euston. I saw Martin Miles. I thought you worked with him.
She's staring at me hard now.
You haven't worked with him in months. Do you know how stupid I feel? Please tell me you have another job somewhere. Please tell me that you haven't been pretending to go to work, that you haven't been lying to me for months.
I look down. I didn't know how to tell you. I was too ashamed. And I start to cry. Kathy puts her arms around me. I cry even more, loudly and freely. I feel terrible. I hate myself almost more than I ever have.
Thursday, 1st of August, 2013. I haven't done much these last few days. It hasn't stopped raining, and there's no reason to go to London. There's been nothing on the news for days, but now Meghan's smiling face, a photo of course, suddenly appears on the TV. Then she's gone, and I'm looking at a wood. It's Corley Wood, an area of trees by the train track. A journalist is standing in the rain talking, with the woods and a police car behind him. The body of a young woman has been found, he's saying, in Corley Wood, less than 5 miles from Meghan Hipwell's home.
Oh my God, it's her.
Mrs. Hipwell went missing 19 days ago, on the 13th of July. This body was discovered early this morning. We're still waiting for the police to be sure, but the body is believed to be Mrs. Hipwell's. It seems that the body was buried in the woods and that it was uncovered by the heavy rains we've had recently.
I'm so shocked I can hardly breathe. I spend the rest of the day in bed, frightened and crying, trying to understand what has happened.